Hey, everybody. Welcome to the True Crime Squad. I'm Christy Brower, here with my sister, co-host, and partner in crime, Katie Weaver. Hey, Katie.
Hello.
How's it going?
Oh, well, my head is still spinning. I mean, did we not hit the ground running today?
Boy, didn't we, though? So this is our summary of day 9 of the Chad Daybell trial. And wowza.
Yeah.
Did we start out with some wild stuff? So you actually joined the stream right before I did.
Mm-hmm.
What were you saying, though? Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, we were so good this weekend on self-care. Remember the things we keep saying, like go outside, touch grass, do enjoyable things?
That is true.
We spent the day in Utah with our dear cousin and had a blast with her. We wrapped last night up with a campfire under the stars. Mm-hmm. We could hear the coyotes howling and turkeys gobbling. And I'm like, oh, this
was nice. I needed all of it.
Court punched us flat in the face this morning.
Right?
But I do I do have a little entrance, a little co-host.
Oh.
You guys said more of our pets. So this is Rico. Because
that's
my
Mr.
oldest
Rico.
Guy. Yeah, this is our really
He's
special
such
Chihuahua
a good
guy.
Boy.
He'll be 12 this fall, and he actually received a really devastating cancer diagnosis in November and has acted absolutely and completely fine. So we think, nah, but this is Miko. And if you ever hear someone shriek out in my office, a little bark, it's him, because he insists on spending every minute I'm in my office. He has to be in here on his bed, and out of nowhere, he hears any little squeak or something that even could be perceived as a beep in any way, and he will scream about it.
He gets really... He sort of crows like a rooster. It's so funny.
Oh, yeah. It will launch you out of your seat if you're not expecting it sometimes. It is something. So anyway, when you hear that, you'll know that this is the culprit. This is the guy doing it. He's about 5 pounds, 5.5 pounds. He's just a little teeny dude, and he's had it with me. Really wants down.
Yeah,
so
he's ready. Yes, Rico Suave. He was always been pretty suave and handsome. He's so sweet.
When we got Rico, he was 8 ounces.
He looked like a hamster with on stilts.
Yeah. And then all of his hair fell out, and he was naked for a minute, and it was really something. Anyway.
It's true.
He's something.
He is something. Well, I thought we'd kind of do this in chronological order because there have been so freaking many bombshell moments in today. So, Katie, you actually joined the live stream earlier than I did, and they snuck in a little extra hearing. You want to tell them a little bit about what went on right before actual court started today?
Yeah. So, in a wild twist of events, in comparison to Lori's hearing, the defense was really had some 404B they were trying to slide in the door that the prosecution did not want. And that was the conversation around Alex Cox tasing Tylee Ryan's dad, Joe Ryan, Lori's third husband, and going to jail for it, catching a charge and a conviction for it. And then also his death, his unattended death that has never been proven to be anything other than an accidental death or like a natural death. We don't know. We have said on this channel forever that we suspect that Joe Ryan was murdered. Obviously, a lot of people think that, but there's no evidence to speak of it. And he was cremated, and there's no investigation into it. And so,
there's never going to be.
The prosecution was like, you cannot bring that stuff in. It's not relevant in any way. Both of these people are deceased. There's no reason to bring it in, you know, and the defense is like, yeah, but I still want to make Alex look like shit and make it look like he and Lori were, conspiring. And I get it. I can see why he wanted to, but the judge said no.
Yeah.
So those topics cannot be brought into the conversation. He felt like they're just old and irrelevant and would cause confusion to the jury that didn't need to happen.
Yeah.
How did Joe Ryan die? So Joe Ryan apparently was deceased in his apartment for a few weeks, it sounds like, before his body was found. And I believe at the time they ruled it a heart attack. He was in his mid-50s.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was an unattended death. Mm-hmm. But he was really the first one mm-hmm. in this line of dominoes to fall. And so there was no suspicion on anyone. And his body was cremated. Mm-hmm. And
that was, I believe, in 2017.
Yeah. And it was just a very cursory autopsy. So there's just no... But he died very similarly to Alex. He died mm-hmm. in Miami. Mm-hmm. So... We don't know. Mm-hmm. I thought it was very interesting. This is the first time we've seen the defense try to bring in the prior bad acts. Mm-hmm. But boy, the judge said no to that. Mm-hmm. So then we started the day with supervisory something, Kaya Kamanu, who used to be with Fremont County, who is now... With Rexburg PD.
Mm-hmm. No, he's with the Sheriff's Department.
With Madison County. That's right.
Yeah.
And that was a lot. That was some interesting. Mm-hmm. It was some interesting testimony. Kaya Kamanu had been involved in a lot of the investigation. He was mm-hmm. basically in charge of the Fremont County side of the investigation. And, you know, it was a lot of reiteration of the same information mm-hmm. that we knew. Mm-hmm. Then they brought in Eric Smith, who was a detective, and we got kind of more of the same stuff, just kind of reiterating like where all of the investigation had occurred. But it's again all the stuff we already know. It wasn't that earth shattering. And then we got Lieutenant Powell.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah, is it Powell or was it Smith? No, it's Powell, right?
It was Powell, yeah.
Yeah. So what we got was car camera footage of Chad Daybell mm-hmm. when he was arrested on June 9th of 2020. Mm-hmm. That's never been released. Nobody had ever seen that before.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating because what the defense played, or not the defense, the prosecution played, was about a 23-minute length of time in which Chad was discussing financial matters and all kinds of things with his daughter Emma as they're preparing for him to be arrested. Mm-hmm. And several things came out in that video that we did not know mm-hmm. until today.
Yeah.
So the whole video is on our YouTube channel. There's a version with captions and a version without, because I was just throwing it up as fast as possible. But mm-hmm. what I have to share with you tonight is just like a 3 minute and 18 second video of the key points of things that were said that we were like, wait a minute. So let's watch that. I've mm-hmm. cleaned up the audio as best as I can. You know, it's like car cam footage. And so the audio is not great.
Yeah.
But just listen to some of this.
If you go to cellmate, this is the card that's used.
Okay.
And so all you really do, you could probably just sign in as chad.daybell or start your own.
I have an account that I've been talking with Lori on.
Okay. But you could use this card.
To add money.
Yeah. And to her if needed.
Okay.
So, yeah, she'll need to still have commissary money. Usually it's about 30 a week in there. And you can probably talk to her, too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds like you're not going to be out.
Right.
So I think I'm going to, my landlord texted me just to feel bad for me. I think I'm going to come over here.
That's what I needed you to say, because you and Joe
stopping at 10904. Detective Wheeler, I just want to reiterate, we just heard that comment about he's not likely going to be out. At that point in time, you had not formally put him under arrest, is that right?
Aside from placing him in handcuffs and detaining him, no.
But you didn't advise him of potential charges or anything like that?
No.
And as far as you know, had any other law enforcement advised him of any specific charges that he may be facing.
Not that I'm aware of.
Moved. And you guys come over here. It'll work out. It's all in the Lord's hands. We'll talk. Use that cellmate. Gosh, it still feels better.
I keep moving. That's what the spirit was telling me, but I didn't know how it all. I felt like I needed to learn more. And now I get it.
I think they'll let him back.
There's
nothing in the house. They haven't.
Stopping at 1 hour, 19 minutes, and 17 seconds. Detective Wheeler, at that point, to the best that you can recall, was any of the search focused inside of the house?
Not that I can recall.
So the focus, as based on your memory, was all outside of the house?
Correct.
I don't know what they do.
Sorry, all the neighbors are going to be talking, but you just...
We're okay, Dad. We're okay. You raised us that we're independent now with your wallet.
Glad you got that.
Right.
Get that money out.
What direction is Mr. Daybell looking when he just turned his head and looked back?
It appears to me he's looking over to the fire pit area.
And that is, in fact, where Tylee's remains were found?
Yes.
Okay. So, here, I'm going to post this in the chat in a second, but let's just talk about them one at a time. We first learned Emma has been talking to Lori on Tellmate.
Uh-huh.
And remember, her kids are missing.
Yep.
Emma's mother is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Lori's brother is dead. Lori's previous husband is dead and now married to her father. And she's been talking to her while she's in jail.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of us saw that coming.
No. And that statement about that at first I didn't understand. I needed to learn more. I needed to understand more. Now I understand. Understand what exactly? Understand that the kids were zombies? What the hell is she talking about?
Yeah. And why was she talking to Lori?
Mm-hmm.
We learned that Chad was putting $30 a week on Lori's books and then was expecting Emma to continue that after the fact. There was a lot of discussion about finances. I didn't put that in here, but it's in the whole video. Uh-huh. But it was pretty clear that Emma already knew a lot of Chad's passwords and a lot of how to get into their accounts and things.
Yeah.
Chad acknowledges, she says, and he acknowledges it, that he's not getting out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was, they had not charged him with anything. They had detained him when he tried to run.
Yeah.
And that was very obvious that they knew what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just as the first body is being identified.
Yeah.
Chad says it's going to be okay. It's all in the Lord's hands.
Yeah.
So we get back to the whole religious part of this.
Mm-hmm.
That is like, it's all good. We're fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the laughing, Chad's laughing.
Yeah.
He did that several times, particularly at Emma.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sherry.
Emma laughed some too, but I thought hers seemed much more like nervous anxiety laughter.
She was kind of hysterical. She was kind of crying, laughing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She would sort of break down in tears. And yeah, that was really, really creepy. Emma needed to learn more about whatever this is, but now she gets it. Like, she gets what? A lot of it was a very veiled conversation. Like, they knew more than we did about what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. That was pretty clear.
Yeah.
Chad says there's nothing in the house for the police to find.
Mm-hmm. That was an interesting one. There's nothing in the house.
Yeah.
It's in the yard then? Okay.
Yeah. There's nothing in the house. And, you know, and the prosecutor confirmed with this deputy that was there even a search warrant for the house? No.
Yeah.
No. Yes, Laura. Yes. Mark Means was his attorney at that time, but they did acknowledge they already had a connection to John Pryor because they talked about that Emma had texted him.
The first time she mentioned John Pryor, did you guys see John Pryor's reaction?
Yes.
He snapped his head up. He was looking down at his computer and his head snapped up like his name had just been called. And I was like, yeah, John, you're. Mm-hmm. They're talking about you. Yeah.
Yeah. Then Emma says, we're okay, Dad. We're independent. Not like Colby.
Yeah. Well,
the dig at Colby Ryan.
With your wallet.
With your wallet.
Yeah. No, we're not like Colby. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, that was really weird. But why the dig at Colby? And why? I mean, obviously, they're really buying into Lori's bullshit. Even Emma is. For there to be ignorant things said about Colby, who's never even met these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very weird. And then they made a really big point, maybe too big a point, that Chad kept turning to look over his right shoulder. And what was over his right shoulder was where they were excavating Tylee's body.
Uh-huh.
And so it appeared as though he was looking for something that he knew was there. He knew they were what they were finding.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree, Jess. That's why I thought it was so interesting. That he responded like that. He should have seen this video before. Surely he has. And yet he acted in surprise at hearing his name.
He did. Yeah. He seemed really a little unsettled by that.
Mm-hmm.
It was very interesting. So these are all things that we did not know.
No, we've not seen this before.
Also, this is the first time we hear Chad's voice.
Yes.
And when you want to talk about Bishop voice, that mm-hmm. slow, soothing, sing-songy voice, that's so typical of, you know, Mormon men, particularly Mormon men who've been in leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to post this in the chat. So here's just a list of the things that we learned today.
Here's some things we didn't learn or didn't see that you might have expected. Mm-hmm. If your father was being arrested and there were dead bodies being found on his property, presumably of children.
Yeah.
Questions?
Yeah.
Fear? Surprise? Shock? I saw her one time say to Chad, I see you looking in surprise. Did Chad look surprised? Chad didn't look surprised. Chad didn't sound surprised. Emma did not look or sound surprised.
No. There was no, like, what's going on, Dad? What are they looking for?
Yeah.
I think those are the questions you'd be asking.
And the police.
Why are they arresting you?
That they had found human remains on the property. She'd already heard that from the police.
Yeah.
And had no WTF in her.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if this was your father's property and you watched your dad get gathered up and put in the back of a police car and they were digging up the bodies of dead kids on your property, what your questions might be, what your reaction might be? None of it.
They were
both very calm. They were both pretty peaceful, except for the giggly shit. They were not what I would have expected if they really didn't know. Right. I think that is very telling. In the very beginning of this investigation, like right after the kids were found, one of our contacts had said that Emma and her husband, Joe, or Joseph, had been investigated and they had considered charging them because of ways that they had gotten in the way of the investigation. And again, that's something we heard from a contact. That's not proven. So I'm just putting it out to you in with that giant grain of salt. But... Right.
She certainly seemed like she knew exactly what was happening, that they were expecting this.
Well, he'd already just spent 2 hours in her house with her. So I can only imagine the conversation they had already had when this happened. But they both definitely acted like they totally knew what was going on. Agreed.
They did. Yeah. What is primary voice? You might know it as baby Fundy voice. Mm-hmm. That high-pitched little sing-songy kindergarten teacher type voice that women use from time to time. And in Mormonism, in a lot of other religions, women are meant to the keep sweet kind of attitude. Mm-hmm. She speaks that way. Chad speaks in a very, what I would call bishop voice, the slow, calm, very monotone. He was so flat. He was having, other than giggling, that was so incongruent with the situation, he wasn't having any emotional reaction at all. Mm-mm. Nothing.
No.
This is not what innocent people who have no idea what they're digging up on his property would say or do.
Here's what I think with Emma, and this is purely supposition on my part. I don't know this. I'm assuming this. This is what I think. Emma acted exhilarated and excited. Why would you act that way? Well, if your father thinks he's a prophet and has been teaching you, and big mark means air quotes, and prophesizing to you, and then the things he says that are going to happen, happen. She was a part of it. She was let me back up. She was witnessing the prophecy playing out. She was witnessing what her dad said was going to happen. There will be a time when I am arrested and everyone thinks I'm the bad guy and I'll probably go to jail and people will think that I did something wrong. But I didn't. And over time, they'll come to learn that I was right all along. And to me, that's exactly what was going on with her and the things that were said. And
it's okay. It's in the Lord's hands.
Yes. And in the moment, she was actually pretty excited because she was a part of it. She was watching the prophecy play out. It was happening in front of her very eyes.
Yep.
Yeah. She was totally bought in. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
She was. I think you're absolutely right, Katie. Because it was so weird. And he did giggle when Emma cried in distress.
Yeah.
It happened several times when you watch the whole video. It's just so creepy. But all of it just feels wrong.
Yeah.
None of that felt right.
No. What do you think the jury thought?
Right? What do you think the jury thought?
I thought Wixom did a really good job at stopping at the key parts and reiterating them to make sure they were heard and understood. I can only imagine. Can they ask Emma if she thinks her dad is a prophet if she testifies? Sure. That's not off. There would probably be a, you know, an objection, but I don't know why it would be off the table.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah, she was a defender of Julie Rowe as well and a friend of Julie Rowe's. Yeah. Yeah.
Emma appears to me to be a fairly vulnerable person.
Yeah.
Similar to Melanie Gibb, Zulema, Audrey, some of the other women that were following Chad and Lori that we saw in Lori's trial and then we'll probably see here too. Yeah. A little bit fragile. Easily led. Because, she was buying in. I mean, wouldn't you be yelling at you? What the hell is going on? Why are they arresting you? What are they're digging up bodies in your backyard? Like, wouldn't you immediately be asking all of those questions? Not
also
what bills to pay and where the money is? And
But also, these are presumably the children of your wife.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you be going, my God, Lori's going to be devastated. Her kids are dead.
Yeah.
Have concern in that direction, but none of that either. None of this is congruent. It doesn't add up to innocent people at all. And I think it's wild because today some, in some places in the dark stretches of Twitter and stuff, people are like, oh, Chad's innocent. He's going to get off. And I'm like, what in the? No. That's not what that meant. That's right. Not what that meant. That's not what the jury saw. No.
No. Yes, the whole ruse that Chad was just heading to the attorney's office is ridiculous because both attorneys mentioned are in Meridian.
Yeah.
He was driving to Meridian? I don't think so.
Somebody indicated they thought Mark Beans might have been on scene. But I'd never heard that before, so I don't know about that. I
don't think so.
Also, the argument about from prior, well, of course, he took off fast. That's a 50-mile-an-hour road. Bitch, the road was closed.
Yeah.
The road was closed. There were police everywhere. There were FBI vehicles. There was all kinds of stuff going on there. Nobody was driving 50 miles an hour down that road. It was closed. That's nonsense.
Rightly, yeah. And she thought they were mistaking dead dogs for human bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And the police were like, yeah, we can tell the difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so bizarre. That
Pryor whole tried to kind of indicate weird. That too, you know, when they had Powell on the stand. Yeah.
Yes.
And yes, well, Meridian is 4.5-5 hours away. So he was not going to any attorney's office. Yeah.
Right. His calm was so weird. Wouldn't you be terrified if the police showed up with a search warrant and started digging up your backyard and they're finding bodies back there? Wouldn't you be scared?
Yeah.
Of what the hell is going on here? Mm-hmm. But he wasn't. He was not scared. So yes, that was Wheeler. And then we get to Lieutenant I just lost his last name.
Powell.
Lieutenant Powell. Which, just so you know, his accent, very standard backwoods rural Idaho accent. I know people were like, I can't stand the way this guy talks. That's the way a lot of people in St. Anthony talk in Fremont County and Madison County and like all around here, particularly people who live rural. That's how our dad talked. Mm-hmm. Very much a rural Idaho accent.
Very much. Yeah.
But wow, did Pryor yell at him? My God. The whole conversation around the exhumation of Tammy's body was something else. It was really bizarre.
So let's be clear. They did not have to tell Tammy's kids that they were exhuming her. No. And obviously, they had some suspicions that her husband had something to do with her death. And maybe her son, because Garth was there. Of course they weren't going to tell them. Of course they weren't.
This is a criminal investigation. They don't have to tell them. They don't need their permission either. If the judge signs the warrant for exhumation, that's all they need.
That's all they need. They didn't owe the kids anything. And maybe that sucks. Maybe when you have a loved one that's died, that's been exhumed, you should get to know. But that's just not the way it always works. And they had no need or reason to tell them that was happening.
Right.
I was a little surprised that they showed the whole viewing audience Tammy's exhumation pictures. Mm-hmm. Honestly, in Lori's trial, they didn't always do that. Some of the things that would have been harder to see were covered up. But so obviously they're going to keep it all out on the table. So.
Yeah, they apparently are. And that photo of her in her casket, I remember it from Lori's trial. It is haunting.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to look at it ever again, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And some of you guys have asked about that photo. If you saw it, are there that image? Mormon people typically bury the LDS people that have been through the temple. They typically bury their past loved ones in temple clothes. And so Tammy was buried in temple clothes. And so some of you have wondered last time and this time what in the world she had on. That's what she had on. That's why she looked that way.
That's what she was wearing. But the way that Pryor yelled at Lieutenant Powell as though he personally dug Tammy up with a shovel was wild.
The way he kept saying that, when you dug their dead mother out of the ground, when you yanked their dead mother out of the ground.
which is not what they do. And what they do is very careful and respectful. And LDS people can be embalmed, maybe. Yeah, she was embalmed
on that. Yeah.
But yeah, the way that he freaked out over that. The other stuff that killed me was, well, didn't you think anything about the fits the family had said she was having? I'm right. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Is that a medical diagnosis from a doctor? No, it is not.
Also, listing all the supplements in the cupboard, and there's no proof those were Tammy's. There's also no proof she was taking them.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of that. The thing you got to understand about Mormons is Mormons are preppers, and Mormons are very self-sufficient and frequently do a lot of natural health alternatives to medical care. We grew up with tons of it. Our mom's best friend was the doctor's book of home remedies and some essential oils and herbal tea. And so we got all of those things. And that's what Tammy was doing. She was treating her muscle pain and, you know, just regular old aches and pains and stuff like that.
Seizures. Prior tried to claim she was having seizures.
Yeah, but no medical doctor ever diagnosed her with anything other than depression and a sore wrist.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and some anemia, which is actually really common in people who are runners.
Right, and that may have been a very old diagnosis because she wasn't being treated for it.
No, she wasn't taking iron, unless the iron was in those supplements, because it could have been.
Could have been, but also she could have been to the doctor for that years ago, and it just showed up as a diagnosis on her chart. That would happen to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that, but the way he tried to hammer on that, I'm interested, because that's basically, he's been indicating from the get-go that we're going to argue that Tammy died of natural causes. And if this is the argument, good fucking luck, because that was the most incongruent, disorganized, stupid argument I've ever heard. To try to say out of one side of your mouth that Tammy was actually very, very sick and it's no surprise she died, and then out of the other, that she's only been to the doctor twice in the last 2 years, and once was for depression, anxiety, and the other was for a hurt wrist, doesn't track with that. The fact that Tammy was actively training for a marathon, going to Zumba, and in a clogging class all this time doesn't track with that. And working full-time and having a church calling that she was active in, none of that tracks with someone who was on death's door in any way.
No, it doesn't. And eternity, that's exactly what we're talking about. They showed her medical records today.
Yeah.
And that's all they had. She'd had anemia at some point. She was being treated for depression. Mm-hmm. And she was on some tramadol because she'd injured her wrist.
Yep.
She wasn't sickly. She wasn't having seizures. No. She wasn't just fading away like they're saying. There's no actual evidence of that. Mm-hmm. And you cannot take the family's word for those kinds of things and turn them into a medical diagnosis. Mm-hmm. That does not work.
No. No, and that's not going to track with the jury either. But again, saying that there were essential oils in the cupboard, there were supplements in the cupboard, doesn't prove Tammy was taking them or using them. And the fact that he was yelling at the deputy for not using or relying on the word of the very people that the police suspected killed her is really something.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And DL, she was that active.
Yeah.
She was very active. And the prosecution is going to bring in the people that will prove that.
Mm-hmm.
They have it. They did that. They did it in Lori's trial as well. All of this stuff that they're making up, it's not real, and it's not, it has no actual bearing. It's bullshit. Mm-hmm. And none of those things turned out to be true in the autopsy. They didn't find seizures and horribleness. She died of cardiac arrest. Well, you know what? Mm-hmm. We pretty much all die of cardiac arrest. Mm-hmm. Your heart stops. That's how you die. Like he made a big deal out of that. Like it was a heart problem. No, not necessarily at all.
Right.
Something caused her heart to stop. And what the autopsy, what the medical examiner is going to say is that she died of asphyxiation.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Healthy people do take supplements too. And just because you have supplements in your cupboard doesn't mean you're actively taking them. The thing is, I don't think that the, if my memory serves, and I might be wrong, but I felt like what we learned last time from Tammy's autopsy and toxicology is that she didn't have anything in her system when she died, that there were no medications in her system. It sounded like she actually hadn't even filled that anxiety depression med in about a year. I think that's going to come out later that she wasn't even actively taking these things.
No, she wasn't. And yes, Marilyn, you're right. Anemia can happen if you lose a large amount of blood with your monthly period. But you know what else causes anemia? Running. Runners get anemia.
Yeah.
So much running, all of the impact changes the shape of your red blood cells. Our cousin Amy, who is an avid runner, told me all about this because she developed anemia while training for marathons.
Interesting.
Guess who else was doing that? Well, you know, John Pryor hit really hard on the arnica because arnica is for bruising. It's also for sore muscles because when they exhumed Tammy's body, she has bruising on her arms that look like fingerprint bruises.
Yeah.
And some bruising on her chest too.
And he tried to claim today that those bruises were old. And Powell didn't buy it. He was like, I can't speak to that. I've never heard that. That's not been said.
They were not noted when she died, but they had appeared after her burial. So they were not old. They were new. And that can happen. I mean, she died and was embalmed and buried in 3 days time. So some of the injuries that she received at the time of her death were not actually showing on her body at the time of her death because it all happened very fast.
You know, one thing I'd like to hear that we've not heard yet. I'd like to hear from the funeral home that embalmed her. I'd like to know what Chad said to them and if he put pressure on them to have this done really, really fast. I just want to know what he said to them. I think that would be interesting. I hope that they bring a witness on the stand that was a part of that because that was crazy.
It's impossible. I don't know if you know anything about like moving a body across state lines, but it's a process. The bruises were on her upper arms, and there was one on her like kind of on her sternum. And the doctor that testified in Lori's trial talked about how they were like fingerprint bruises and like a knee on the chest. But Pryor's trying to say she already had those. She was treating them, except that they were not noted by the coroner who initially saw her body. So,
let's see. There was a question I wondered about. I wanted to answer and now I've lost it. Let's see. Oh, how long after death was Tammy exhumed? It was only about 4 weeks-ish. It was about a month, maybe a little bit more.
It wasn't very long.
And it was cold. It was November, December-ish.
It was.
It was cold. And so I think that probably helped preserve her quite well. But if you did see the exhumation photos, you see that she really looks pretty good.
Yeah, she does. And we're going to hear, I know they didn't really go after this stuff that Pryor was the way he was yelling at Powell. I kind of, because they're going to be able to counter every single thing he said today with their own witnesses. I kind of think they were letting him go to show the jury what a dick he is, because he was so rude to Lieutenant Powell and yelled at him repeatedly and like blamed him for the exhumation. It was really unreasonable. He pretty much kind of lost his shit. And I don't think that is a good look for the jury to see. I think they were kind of letting him hang himself in that situation.
Yeah. Lori, it was December 11th, and then Alex died December 12th.
That's right.
Yeah, yep. You're right in the, yep.
Yeah.
Oh, died October 12th? Oh, that was...
No, I think it's October 19th she died.
That's what I thought. Okay, yeah.
And then exhumed on December 12th. Yeah. So I guess it was two months-ish.
Yeah. Yeah, the story about her falling halfway out of bed when she died does not make sense. I agree.
No, someone pushed her out of that bed because she was long dead and cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they put her back in the bed. And it's going to be really interesting to see what Garth has to say, because Garth's story and Chad's story have never fully lined up.
No.
About what happened that night and, mm-hmm. you know, all of the things that went on. But, you know, the bottom line was, is that when the police started learning about all these other deaths and missing children swirling around these people, they went, oh shit, we better take a look at this mm-hmm. woman's death. And boy, Pryor wanted to attack that. I don't know why. I mean, you look at everything else that had happened, mm-hmm. you would definitely be going, wait a minute, mm-hmm. but his wife died too, you know?
Right. It's really like, really, Pryor, you're up in here pissed off that they did their job?
Yeah.
Because that's what the jury's seeing. The jury's seeing mm-hmm. you up here mad and yelling at the police officers for doing their job. That's all it looks like at this point.
Yeah. Well, right, Amy. Cold and stiff is hours after death. Well, you know, they're figuring that by cell phone data, they think that she died somewhere between 11:30 and midnight. Mm-hmm. And then it was something like 5 o'clock in the morning when they called 911.
Yeah, close to six. Yeah.
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 So she'd been dead many hours. And he tried to say that he just woke up and she was there. But that is not what the cell phone data indicates. And time of death just does not match up with anything that they say.
No. No. Not at all.
No.
Oh, you know who I'm going to feel bad for? Brenda Dye.
Oh,
he already had her name in his mouth a lot today, and I went, oh my God, he mm-hmm. chew her up on the stand. It's going to be awful.
Yes, he's going to be really terrible to her, I'm afraid. She's mm-hmm. she's the coroner for Fremont County when this happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
So then they started with an FBI analyst that uh-huh. was talking about all of the different phone numbers. Uh-huh. Verner phones. They had, Chad had nine phone numbers. Mm-hmm. Lori had six and Alex had a few, like, and she was just going through all of the ways that they verified who each number was assigned to. And she could identify nine numbers that had been assigned to Chad.
Yeah.
But they're the worst criminals ever, because they would buy burner phones and then sign into their own Google accounts and iCloud accounts with them.
Yeah.
Like, the point of a burner phone is to not do that so that no one can trace the phone. But these phones were very much traceable. Mm-hmm. Lori had a bag of phones with her when she was arrested in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and they were labeled different phones. And, you know, we all know in her phone, he was Bishop Shumway. Mm-hmm. And Alex was Bishop Miller in another phone. It's weird mm-hmm. that they would, name themselves Mormon leadership,
mm-hmm.
but it wouldn't be questioned. If somebody saw the name of a bishop in your phone as a Mormon, nobody would think, oh, that's, who would that be? No, they would, that would be totally normal.
Yep, for sure. Brenda Dye is the Fremont County coroner. And yes, she is our cousin. Yeah.
She is.
Yep. Yeah.
And we do defend her.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know, Idaho does not require coroners to be doctors. Brenda is not a doctor. She is an advanced EMT.
Yeah.
And she did the best she could with what she had and with the knowledge she had. And this was all about manipulation on the part of Chad.
Yeah.
You know, and she just listened to the husband, because at the time, they didn't have any reason to think that he had done anything to her.
And Emma said, we don't want our mother to have an autopsy.
Yeah.
And she's been sick. And they just believed him. That's probably not uncommon for here at all. But she was attacked so She was treated so terribly and attacked so badly in Lori's trial. Oh my gosh, I was horrified. Yeah.
It's extremely unfair. She's put in this position because, right, exactly, Teresa, Idaho's too cheap to pay for actual doctors to be coroners here. It's
right. Stupid. And Brenda's an EMT and has been for a super long time. But that doesn't, it's not the same as being a medical doctor.
No, it isn't. It isn't. And yeah, I mean, this was an unattended death, but it wasn't at the time did not appear to be a suspicious death.
Right. Thanks it wasn't to violent.
A lot of manipulation. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody said back to the chat and Emma conversation, and I thought this was a really good point that, for Lord's sakes, I lost it. Oh, this one, Heather, thank you for this. She said, Chad in the car talking to Emma saying you cooperate with the police as you see fit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just Chad manipulating Emma. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Basically, there were a what lot he's saying to her actually is you cooperate with the police as spirit tells you to, as God says.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so. But her behavior toward him, the deference, the, you know, she was not sad about anything but him being arrested. There was no sadness over dead children being dug up in his property. You know, like there was just, it was all sad about him and how she was going to fix, how she was going to be able to help him and send him things from Amazon and put money on his books and pay all his bills.
Yeah.
You know, because even in this moment when he's being arrested, for the bodies on his property, she's still there to be obedient and serve him.
Yep. And she was.
Yeah.
And she was. And yes, she did say that she wouldn't tell Joe, her husband, referring to Chad's finances in her name. Yep.
Yep.
She did.
Yeah.
She also, I don't know if you caught that part where Garth wasn't to have the debit card because he does a lot of frivolous spending. Did you catch that?
Yes. Yes.
So Garth wasn't to be trusted with the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. So that was quite a day.
Mm-hmm.
But then some stuff's been filed that is even more of a day. So Katie, do you want to take us through that?
Yeah. Well, okay. So let's take a really quick run way back to the beginning when there was the big fight in court with Mark Means trying to get Prosecutor Wood thrown off the case and claiming that he had made himself a witness. And this was the dumbest, stupidest hearing that you've ever attended, ever. Believe it or not, yes, it was. And basically the judge said no. And throughout this trial, occasionally we heard Mark and then Pryor say things about trying to make a prosecutor a witness. They really want to do that. Really want to do that. And the judge, I mean, you know, over and over is like, that is just not. We're not doing that. That's not a thing. The prosecutor's not a witness. Well, when Pryor filed his witness list, he tried to subpoena Prosecutor Wood.
Yeah.
Again, trying to make him a witness. And the judge said, we're not doing that. And he quashed that subpoena.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the prosecution is currently very concerned because they think that the defense is going to try and do it anyway. So here's what was filed. This was filed on behalf of the state, a motion for expedited hearing. And it's short. I'm going to read it to you. The state of Idaho, by and through the Fremont County Prosecuting Attorney's Office, respectfully requests this court shorten time for a hearing on the state's motion in limine, giving the state's belief that the defense intends to call Prosecutor Wood as a witness. The attorney advocate rule and the witness exclusion put in place by this court, and the state's concern the defendant may be attempting to set up a mistrial. The state believes time is of the essence in hearing this motion. The reason for this request is that in preparation for testimony by Melanie Gibb, these communications came to the forefront. Given the statements made by the defense, coupled with the cross-examination of Lieutenant Hermosillo, it appears the defense is still going to attempt to call Prosecutor Wood as a witness. Prosecutor Wood's subpoena was recently quashed by this court at a hearing where the defense never mentioned these messages. So he's got some kind of attempted Perry Mason moment yet again, where he's going to try to call Wood as a
witness. And pretty obviously in front of the jury. Even if the judge doesn't allow it, what kind of question does that put in the jury's minds about the prosecution's case?
Yeah.
It's insanity. We talk all the time about how Pryor really does not know what the hell he is doing. Mm-hmm. And this is a great example of that.
Mm-hmm. So tomorrow at 1 p.m., right after lunch, there is a hearing that we should be privy to, I think, I hope.
It's sealed.
No, is it sealed? It's
filed in order to seal it.
Never mind. Where they're going to fight that out again.
Yep.
But yeah, that is very shady. It has to do with some text messages between, I guess, the prosecution and Melanie Gibb. I'm not sure. It's not on the same topic, but that's where it originated from, the story I told you about constantly trying to make the prosecutor. They have not liked how, the defense has not liked how hands-on the prosecutor has been with this case. They have not liked that he has.
They don't like that he talks to witnesses.
Yeah.
And the judge has been like, well, that's his job. So that doesn't make him a witness any more than it makes John Pryor a witness to talk to some of these witnesses. It's ridiculous.
But we also know that there's another hearing this week on the 18th at 3:30, as soon as court is adjourned for the day, to talk about that. Remember that motion that was put in place by
Terry Ratliff?
Terry Ratliff trying to assign himself to Chad's case, trying to join Chad's case.
Yeah, well, that's a show cause hearing.
Yep, a show cause hearing on the 18th at 3:30. So both of those things are happening.
And they also sealed that one. Mm-hmm. There's an order to seal it as well. So we're never going to get to see these. But yeah, that, oh my God. Mm-hmm. The judge is going to smack John Pryor to the ground over this. I wish we got to see it. I so wish we got to see it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, Wood traveled to Arizona with some police officers with some detectives, and did sit in on interviews with Summer and with Melanie Gibb, and maybe with Zalema.
I think Zalema too, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was that same attorney that was representing Summer and Zalema.
Yeah.
Right. The prosecutor is entitled to talk to witnesses and investigate the case. It's part of his job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really crazy how mad they get about the police doing their jobs and the prosecutor doing their jobs. Pretty wild. There was also an order that came in that was denied by the court by Court TV. Court TV, for God's sake, quit always being the problem, really.
Yeah.
But they requested to inspect or copy judicial records, prospective juror questionnaire. And the court said, well, no, you can't have that yet. You can have it when this entire case is wrapped up and you want the package of all of these things, then gladly you can have it. But you can't have it right now, right, in the middle of the trial.
No.
But they were trying to get that.
Yeah.
Whatever, I guess. Yeah.
Well, and then... Pryor kicked, we're not sure how many people, some people out.
Yes. Not Pryor.
The judge, Judge Boyce, out of the courtroom today because on a break, these individuals tried to approach a juror. Mm-hmm. What are people doing? Right. We cannot have a mistrial here and have to do all this shit all over again. What a stupid, stupid thing to do.
Yeah. Like, who the hell do you think you are doing that?
Right?
And so they're kicked out for the duration. And they should be.
Yeah.
You can't behave at court. You don't get to go to court.
Right. No, you just don't.
Yeah. Thank you.
By the way, Sherry T, thank you so much. We didn't get a chance to thank you because we were in the middle of something else. And then Rose as well.
I threw it out.
Super chats. Oh, you did? Uh-huh. Oh, well. Well, good job. Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. The super chats are very much appreciated, as are the joining our Patreon, joining our YouTube channel, the tips on Buy Me a Coffee, the tips at PayPal. You guys are wonderful. Mm-hmm. Your support of us is so appreciated.
Absolutely. Oh, the only other thing that came out today, apparently, the Woodcocks are having a memorial for the kids, a celebration of life for the kids on the 27th of May, or no, of April, sorry, the 27th of May, April. Where the hell am I and what's my name? The 27th of this month. At the Colonial Theater in Idaho Falls, Idaho. So that's just here, you know, where we live. The Colonial's a great choice. It's a pretty good sized theater. So they're going to have a visitation from 11 to 1, and then there'll be a short service after that. So it's first come, first serve. I would love to tell you we're definitely going to try and go. I don't know if we will. East Idaho News is going to stream it. I feel like we should go, but I don't want to fight a big public thing. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
There's a big part of my heart that thinks we absolutely should be there, but I don't know.
Right. I, you know, I'm supposed to be camping that weekend.
That's true.
And I genuinely would like to be camping.
Yeah.
So we don't know.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how to handle it. I don't know what my aversion is, to be honest. I would think that I should have been all over this. And as soon as I read that today, my heart was like, we may just watch it with you. I'm not sure. We'll find out. We'll figure it out and we'll let you know. Either way, though, we'll all be able to watch it. And I think that's what's most important. I would imagine they fill that theater. I can't imagine they don't, you know, have quite a few people that do want to come and pay their respects to the kids. And of course they should. So at any rate, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Somebody asked if we have Venmo. If you prefer to tip that way, I just put my Venmo in the chat.
We do.
It's just at Christy Brower. So yeah, you can Venmo us that way. For sure.
Yeah.
It's so wild, all of this like extraneous stuff that is happening. Why do it now? Oh, I think it's planned, intentional. Mm-hmm. I mean, for one, a lot of the family is in the area. Mm-hmm. And both bodies were released not that long ago.
Yeah.
And so I think doing it during this trial is actually kind of awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, I think so too.
Yeah, Kathy says, I think watching the stream would be better than having to deal with the people. When my friend Shannon was murdered, I watched the stream of the service. I couldn't get to it in person. Yeah. Yeah. Right, camping over people every time, Rose. Yeah, me too. We're finally going to take our mini Winnie out. We bought it in December. And then, of course, we live in Idaho, which means we haven't had any decent weather to be able to take it out. And we're finally taking it out that weekend. So I'm not giving that up.
See, my concern was actually that I might be traveling. It depends on how my daughter's team does. Because if they make it to the postseason, I might not be here.
Right.
I don't know. Anyway, that's kind of where it's at for me, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Delphi's going to be in May. Oh, yeah, Delphi. Yep. Oh, man, you guys, Delphi's got explosions going on. I'm trying up with Delphi, but, man, it's hard right now with all of this. Yeah.
Kindly says, or Kindy says, is there legal issues with mentioning the tasing and opening and then not being allowed to bring it up now? So the opening is not evidence.
Yeah,
but bringing it up in at trial when, you know, questioning witnesses and stuff, that's different. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it is. I was surprised when he did it. He brought in, and maybe he's just trying to get ahead of it, but Pryor brought in everything from the Arizona cases, including Joe Ryan. Mm-hmm. But the reason he wants that in is because that's evidence of Alex's violence.
Mm-hmm. And that Alex was very willing to do Lori's bidding.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, the whole reason that happened supposedly is that Lori was insisting that Joe Ryan was molesting her children. And there was a lot of investigation into that. Joe Ryan was never charged. His custody was never injured by that. That really wasn't anything that was ever proven.
That could happen. So, yeah.
Well, she'd started that when Tylee was just like a toddler. And
yeah.
It was never proven. Colby did say that it happened to him, however. And so I don't want to, I'm not going to hijack Colby's story, but. Right. There's no evidence of it as far as a court of law is concerned that there was ever anything proven.
Yeah.
But.
Well, and yes, they can just say whatever in opening and it's fine. But the jury is instructed from the judge to remember that the statements by prosecutors and defense attorneys are not evidence. Mm-hmm. And to remember that fact. And so that is a part of their instruction. Mm-hmm. Joe Ryan is not Colby's dad.
Nor did he adopt Colby. But Colby did assume his name.
Did take his last name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Colby's dad is husband number two. Who, Lori's first two husbands, we don't actually know very much about. And she wasn't married to either one of them for very long. And then Joe, who she also wasn't married to for terribly long. Her longest marriage was certainly to Charles.
Yes, but. Most definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, Emma's snarky remark about Colby, which obviously had come directly from Lori, implying that somehow he wasn't independent of Lori, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Just being shitty.
Yeah. Well, but of course, Colby.
Yeah, Tylee is his half-sister.
Yeah.
Not full sister. Yeah.
Yeah. But of course, you know. We're the good ones and they're the bad ones, right? Chad and his family are the good ones that aren't, you know, level something dark. They get to stay versus, you know.
They at least got to stay till these guys got caught.
Mm-hmm.
How is Pryor getting away with bringing up all the Arizona things? Well, a lot of the Arizona things are allowed because of the common scheme and the charges of conspiracy. But the Joe Ryan situation is not allowed because it's totally irrelevant to this case. It doesn't have anything to do with the other deaths.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
but you know,
it was a wild day.
In fact, the prior is the one who wants 404B is crazy in comparison to the last trial where 404B was objected to about a million times and is a big part of the appeal.
He's trying to use it because he tried to say that he had objected to it and it turned out he had not. Mm-hmm. And so it's all in and he doesn't even get to argue against it in this trial. Therefore, I think he was trying to make it work for him in some way when it didn't. Right. It's a lot of husbands. It is so many names to keep track of and such a timeline to keep track of. And I'm always very grateful when I hear these things that I know the jury is hearing that I've been on this case for 4 years because I can track it. I can't imagine how they're trying to track it, especially with the way that Pryor jumps around in timeline. Like, they don't know what the hell he's talking about half the time.
He's not doing himself any favors being so incongruent, but. Yeah. Who said it? It was Elle said, I want to hear the jail calls between Emma and Lori. Oh, please, God, let us hear those. Yes.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah.
Really, really hope those come into evidence.
Very curious about this. I was amazed. She's actually like she was having contact. Mm-hmm. Right. Language of horses. I think so, too. That Colby was going to be next. Colby and Kay.
Oh, yeah.
We're probably next on the list because Colby was asking about the kids and. Yeah, and then so was Kay. Fortunately, they got caught before they could kill them, but I it could have gone a lot further even.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Colby's wife was on the dark list. Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
You're right.
Shitty. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kendi says, I'm worried the jury is going to buy in on it's all Lori's fault thing. but he'll still get nailed for being involved. Does he still get death penalty for that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he does.
He could. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's still very much good. And Kenny, don't worry. I mean, we haven't seen anything yet in the, when they get to all of the digital communications between Lori and Chad and Alex, he's 100% involved. Well, and all the stuff they've been talking about, Pryor keeps bringing up that Chad is not charged in the shooting of Brandon Boudreau or the murder of Charles Vallow. But it did come up today that there is a recording of a phone call and proof that that phone call came from one of Chad's many phones to a funeral home trying. Mm-hmm. He makes up it. This call is hilarious. I can't wait till we get to hear it because he is so bad at this. He gives himself away, but he's basically trying to find somewhere that they can send Charles's body for a real mm-hmm. quick cremation, quick and cheap cremation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can't tell me he wasn't involved in Charles. They just don't have enough evidence to charge him. Mm-hmm. Pryor wants you to believe that that means he's innocent. It just means he's not charged. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Amber, yeah, totally different guy. Totally different guy. That call is hilarious. Right, Duh Bell, or yeah, however he says his own last name wrong, but it's still close enough that you totally know exactly what he's talking about. It was so dumb.
Wild.
Yeah.
Crazy. I would imagine we hear that in this. If we don't, we have it. We'll make sure you guys hear it. But I would imagine they play it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If only just to continue to prove the association between the two of them, between Chad and Lori.
It's there. It all started in October of 2018, that connection between the two of them.
But I really love seeing the new evidence coming out. Because some of this we've heard over and over. Of course, the jury hasn't, and this isn't for us. It's for the jury. But, you know, to have new evidence is awesome. Yeah.
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 I know. Super good. So tomorrow's going to be interesting because we're going to have that analyst on the stand. We may have another analyst. There's a lot of FBI analysts in this case. The lunch break is extra long.
Yeah. Some of the analysts stuff gets extra dry, too.
It does. It does. But it's really, really important because it's making the connection back over and over and over again mm-hmm. to how they were communicating. You know, innocent people sure have 9 phones, right? Come on.
Don't we all have a pile of burner phones?
Yeah.
That have, you know, random names associated with people that we know personally. And sure, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The call is, you can find it on our YouTube channel. We have it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 8:30 Mountain Time.
Yeah.
And we'll do this all again and see what kind of bombshells we get tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah. So thank you, everybody, for joining us during the trial today, mm-hmm. for joining us tonight, or if you're joining after the fact, whenever you can join. That's why we do what we do, because we know not everybody can just sit home and watch this damn trial. So we're here for that. We'll make sure you get all of the good tea. And with that, we are the True Crime Squad. So thanks for being here.
Take care.